Chapter 51. Vida yelled, "What? Where is she?"
"The window," Pearlie said. "The idiot woman went out the window. She broke the glass and jumped."
Footsteps ran from the door to the window.
"If she did," Mick said, "she's not going to be a problem. Nobody could have made that jump. She's not on the ledge. She's somewhere down below. Maybe she landed in the shrubbery."
"If she's not dead now, she'll wish she were," Vida said. "What a dirty trick she played, and I won't let her get away with it."
I bit my lip. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black.
"Where's Elbert, anyway?" Mick said. "He's never around when he's needed."
"He's out with the surveyors," Pearlie answered.
"First, we've got to make sure that woman is out of commission.
We'll find her, and whether she's dead or alive, we'll hide her good so her policeman boyfriend won't find her," Vida said. "And we've got to move her car, put it in the barn, and cover it with hay. We can't have any trace of her around here at all. Well, get a move on."
They clattered from the room. Their footsteps grew fainter on the stairs. I rolled out from under the bed and pushed myself up. I was alive for the time being, but for how long? Now was my chance to slip down the stairs and out the back door. I'd never seen a back door in this house, but there had to be one. Maybe it was in the pantry. Wherever it was, I'd find it. I'd have to. These people were killers. They were going to make sure Kate and whoever else came looking would find no trace that I had been here. But when would Cade get here? Was he still in Tulsa? How about Ulysses? Was he on his way back to Edna Lee? I ran into the hall and down the first flight of stairs. So far, so good. Hopefully they were still trying to find where I'd landed when I jumped. But it wouldn't take long until they realized they'd been fooled. And then they would tear the place apart trying to find me. I didn't pause when I reached the second floor. I ran down those stairs and into the kitchen. Then I heard the back door open, somewhere beyond the pantry. I was trapped. The fireplace had been my hiding place once before. Mick hadn't found me there. Maybe it would work again. It had better. There was nowhere else to go. I edged into the ingle nook, behind the chair in front of the fireplace. It wasn't a very deep hiding place, but it was dark. Squatting down, I made myself as small as I could and held my breath. My breathing came in bursts, my heart pounding so loudly that surely someone would hear it. I prayed fervently that nobody would. Elbert walked in through the pantry just as the other three rushed in from outside.
"What's going on?" Elbert said. "Where is Mrs. McNeil? Did she bring it?"
"We don't know where she is," Vida shouted. "She didn't bring anything. It was a trick."
She was a fine one to talk about a trick, but Elbert seemed clueless.
"So where is she now?" Elbert asked. "Is she here?"
Pearlie grabbed her husband's arm.
"While you were mapping out the site for the casino, she came, got away from us, and hid. She's got to be here somewhere. Did you see anyone around the outbuildings?"
"I would have seen her if she was out there, and she's not. So what do we do now?"
"Be prepared for the cops to show up," Mick said. "We can hide all traces of her and see if we can make her boyfriend believe us. Or we can get out of here. I'm for getting out. I don't think you're ever going to get that money. And Pearlie, you'd better come up with what you owe the casino, or your hide won't hold shucks."
Pearlie whimpered. "I told you I'd get it. Just be a little patient." Mick snorted.
Vida got up in Mick's face. "Listen to me. We've come this far. You're not getting out of it now. You're just as guilty as I am. Myra got cold feet. Lila was dangerous. You know what happened to them?"
Mick's voice was deadly cold.
"Are you threatening me?"
Elbert broke in.
"This was all your idea, Vida, and I think you're as crazy as a loon. Crazy! Do you hear me? You're the one who killed Evangeline, Myra too, and Lila. All for your revenge and to get the estate. We're innocent."
Vida shoved over the kitchen chair. With one violent movement, she swept the flower arrangement off the dining table.
"You were all willing to help and keep quiet until things got a little rough," she shouted. "If I go to jail, you're going too."
Vita's voice rose a few decibels until she was shrieking.
"You know this whole estate should be mine. You know Evangeline had it only because her father was a murderer. Cowards, all of you."
Good. They were turning against each other. But what did Vida mean about the estate being hers? This sounded like the ravings of a lunatic. Pearly, Elbert, and Mick started for the stairs. Vida ran after them, yelling that they couldn't leave. I bit my lip. Now was my chance. While they were out of the room, I'd run out the back door. I could hide in the woods. Well, I'd think about it after I got out of this house. My legs felt cramped from hunkering down and being wedged into a small space. Bracing my hands against the wall of the inglenook, I pushed myself to my feet. With no warning, the bricks under my hand gave way, and my arm plunged into a cavity in the wall. I touched something hard and cold. In the dim light, I saw a white thing, white and hideous. When my fingers brushed it, it fell. I gasped, horrified. I was looking down at the skull of a skeleton. Before I could stop it, the shock that froze me in place rose from my throat, and I screamed. The clatter of falling bricks would surely bring that murderous crew to the kitchen, and if they hadn't heard that noise, they would have heard my scream. Anyone within 2 miles could have heard it. I didn't have time to ponder what I'd uncovered. I didn't have time to think. My instinct to survive took over, and I ran.